Everyone, welcome to another episode of the Campbell's Footballs podcast. I am, of course, Dr. Grant Campbell, delighted to be joined in the hot seat this week by the Glenavon captain, James Singleton. James, a warm welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hiya, Grant. Thanks very much for having me on. Delighted to be here. Yep, I'm doing well. Enjoying a wee weekend off, but yep, all going good.
Yeah, obviously, you mentioned there you had a weekend off. Obviously, it's great to have a bit of rest, relaxation with the family, but obviously, pretty a busy time with the Irish Cup and the league being so competitive as well. Maybe a good time to have a wee break.
Well, that's it. As I said, I would probably much rather be playing, you know, yesterday and still included in the Irish Cup. But unfortunately, we were knocked out by Crusaders. But it was still nice to get a wee Saturday off, be able to spend a wee bit of time with the family. It was nice.
How have you found the 2021-22 season? Because it feels like, from an outsider looking in, that this is the most competitive Irish Premiership season that ever has been.
It's the most competitive season in my career. This is my ninth season in the league. It's been very, very, very difficult. And I think our start to the season killed us, because it's a season where if you don't start well and keep your form going, you're going to be left behind. And we really strengthened, I thought, this season. But unfortunately, a bad start sort of left us behind a wee bit. But even right now, you've got like one point in it between first and third. It's so tight and it's so interesting. I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Obviously, you're not in that title picture, but as we're recording this, just 1 point covering Linfield, leading the league, Glentoran second, level on points, and Cliftonville third. Who is going to win the league? It's so, so competitive.
It's so, so tight, and all three teams have the highest of quality. You know, we've played Cliftonville twice this season, and they've been brilliant. Really, really impressed with Cliftonville. Glentoran as well, the quality they have just with the signings they've made, you know, within the last couple of seasons, sorry, have been unbelievable. And Linfield, it doesn't matter. There was a lot of talk about Linfield, you know, that they lost a few good players, but they're still sitting top of the league. You know, there's a lot where they're going to score their goals, but they're still winning. They're winning games by one goal. They're winning 2-1s like Carrick on Friday night, and they've just got that winning mentality about them.
Let's assess Glenavon's season so far. 29 games as we're recording us, sitting 8th on 38 points. You mentioned the slow start. What do you put that down to for Glenavon this season?
It's tough to put our hand on it, because the first couple of games we had 4 points from 6, so it wasn't the worst start in the world. You know, we had a win and a draw in our first two games, and then it was after that we kept drawing matches that we were winning. We were in the lead and we were conceding late goals, and if you keep drawing games, you're not going to climb the table much. You know, you're only getting 1 point. And then we had a few losses in there as well. And I think it took us about 7 or 8 games before we started to, you know, pick up a bit of form. Mm-hmm. And by that stage, you've got teams on 20 points already. Do you know what I mean? You know, who've had a really good start. So I think that sort of killed us. We have picked up form, and I think recently our form's been quite good, but there's still a big, you know, a big gap to try and catch up on when you have a slow start.
I mean, looking at Glenavon's home form, 17 points from home games this season. Has that been a bit of an Achilles heel for you guys?
It's been a big issue, which we can't really put our finger on, because our away form has been super. You think your home, you know, your home form would be better than your away form, but it hasn't been the case this season. I don't know whether it's maybe thinking that, you know, we're at home, we'll win today, or maybe going in with the wrong mentality. It's hard to put our finger on it. We've also threw away a lot of wins at home, you know, being in the lead and then giving it up or conceding late goals and some bad performances as well. Carrick, the third game of the season comes to mind, where we were beat 4-0, and that should never be the case. You know, we should be, no disrespect to any team in the league, but they're the games we should be winning.
Well, I spoke to Sean Ward at the start of the season. I looked at Glenavon's team and thought, we've got a lot of experience there. Yes, they've lost guys like Jonathan Tuffy, who I thought has been a tremendous goalkeeper for many years, but there's a good strength and stability in that back line. Why did it take so long to get that consistency working?
It was very difficult. I think this season as well, we had Mark Stafford coming back, a new signing, who was a great signing, coming back from injury, from surgery. Took him a wee while to get going, and then I got injured myself and I was out for 10 games, you know, with a stomach injury, and then Mark Hockey got a long injury as well, where he was out for, you know, a good 10 or 11 games as well. So I think we struggled to get a settled back four, and then once we were all back from injury, the results started to pick up, but it was a long stretch. It was a period of 2 or 3 months we were sort of, you know, missing 2 or 3 of our good defenders.
You mentioned there about the injury that you sustained. How frustrating was that for you to be out for such a sustained period of time?
So frustrating because I haven't been injured. Touch wood, I haven't been injured the last sort of three seasons. I've played the most minutes. I think I've been in the top 10 players in the league, you know, the last three seasons in a row. The Belfast Telegraph do it every year and in terms of minutes played on the pitch. And, you know, so I've been delighted with that. I've been injury free. And to get a silly injury, it was one of them injuries too. I couldn't really put my finger on it. You know, it was between my groin and my lower stomach. And it was just rest that was needed. And I just tried to push myself to get back quicker and quicker. But unfortunately, the more I'd done that, then the more it was the longer it was taking me to come back.
Obviously, the Irish Cup was this weekend, and we talked about that Glenavon match against Crusaders, and I watched that game, and I thought Glenavon were on the wrong end of some pretty poor refereeing decisions and moments in that match. That must be really frustrating when you've competed so well against a very good Crusaders team, I may add, but 4-0 was, I thought, unbelievably harsh.
Yeah, I think it was well documented, sort of. I think the fact that it was on TV as well, sort of, and Colin Coates was, he was talking, he was doing the commentating.
He was on co-commentary, yeah.
He was co-commentary, and even him being a Crusaders legend, you know, he could point out the mistakes that were made that night. And there were sort of, it was the key timing of the mistakes. You know, the first one, the sending off and maybe a penalty that we should have been given in the first half, that changes it. You know, we score that there down to 10 men, it's one each. But that wasn't given, which we can accept. That was a big call for the referee, and he decided not to give it, which is fair enough. But the goal that we scored in the start of the second half to make it one each, which is so onside, you know, it's not even a difficult call to make. That really knocked the stuffing out of us. Because that stage we were on the ascendancy and we had Crusaders pinned back. And right from that, they go up the pitch and score to make it 2-0, which is like a double kick in the teeth. Yeah. But I think 4-0 in that game, anybody watching it knew it wasn't a 4-0 match. And I think if we even got one of them big decisions, it could have been a completely different outcome.
In terms of the current form, though, Glenavon, up until the most recent match against Glentoran, where you guys lost 4-2, it's been on quite a good run. You were 6-unbeaten, 3 wins and 3 draws. Is it frustrating that you're finding the form now, but there's still plenty to play for? You mean you could still get 7th, which may be a potential match for Europe in the future.
Well, that's it. We sort of, whenever we were on that run, we were still sort of eyeing up 6th. But our last two games, the loss against Glentoran and the draw with Ballymena, sort of maybe killed that a wee bit for us. But 7th spot, we need to, that's our minimum aim. You know, we have to be going for that for the European playoff. But yeah, we were on a good run, and that's a couple of good runs now we've been on this season. A couple of good 5 or 6 games unbeaten. Unfortunately, the Ballymena game last week, we went down to 9 men, so that should have been another win. And we were in the lead against Glentoran there right up to like the 75th minute last Saturday. And then they scored a couple of goals to win it. But it's another match where maybe we could have, on another day, we could have picked up 3 points. That would have been a massive win.
You personally have managed to get a goal this season in the derby against Portadown. That must have been a great moment for you.
Yeah, I've only scored the one goal this season, and I'm not too pleased with that, because I normally like to try and aim for about 3 or 4 goals, you know, or as many as I can. And I scored 2 against Portadown, and one unfortunately was ruled offside. but yeah, no, listen, I'd much rather get 3 points in a clean sheet if I can chip in with a goal or two and some assists, then I'm happy.
Let's assess some of the players at Glenavon this season who I think have really caught my eye. I mean, young Matthew Fitzpatrick is the one that I think has stood out. What's he like to play with?
He's a superb player. His fitness, I think it comes from his Gaelic background as well. You know, he's super fit. He's a player he's an honest player. He'd work all day for you. He's very brave. He's not going to hide away from a tackle or hide away from, you know, from the ball. He's a great player. And I think a lot of pressure was put on him whenever Fitzpatrick or Danny Perkis left us to go back to East Belfast, because he was sort of left up there and there was a wee bit less competition. And there was a lot of pressure on Fitzy to score goals, as well as Andy Waterworth. But I think he stood up to it really well, and he's been absolutely brilliant for us this season.
And you mentioned Andy Waterworth coming to the club. You know, obviously maybe not played as many games as he would like to, but he must have a positive influence in the dressing room.
Definitely, Andy's he's a top pro. You know, he's won everything in this country, and he's been, I don't know how many goals he's scored in his career, but it's something frightening. Obviously, with his work commitments with the IFA, he has missed quite a lot, and that was in his contract. You know, that's agreed with the club. That's the reason why he couldn't go full-time with Linfield, but we have to honour that and accept that he's not going to be available every game. So I think maybe he's found it a bit more difficult, you know, to get into his stride, because he is missing matches in the odd training session. But Andy's still great to have around the change room, and I'm sure he'll do well for us too.
Between Matthew Fitzpatrick and Peter Campbell, they've scored 20 goals for Glenavon this season, which is quite a good return, to be honest. They've actually scored half of Glenavon's goals as we record on that. Is that interesting to see? I mean, Peter's been a really talented player as well.
Peter's a brilliant signing for us. You know, he plays just in front of me and he's a great player for me to have. I think we've a really good relationship up the left-hand side of the pitch and we're quite strong up the left-hand side and Peter does the work as a... He does the work of two players sometimes in terms of, you know, tracking back and helping out his fullback. And he's a great player to have, a real honest player. He'd work hard for you. He'll give you 100% every game. And between him and Fitzy, we've sort of changed the shape to 4-3-3. So instead of the original 4-4-2 that we always played throughout the last sort of 8 years, Gary's changed it this season, sort of halfway through the season. And I think it's really worked because since Gary changed it, our form's really, really, really improved.
I mentioned those two players specifically there because of their goal return. Who else has impressed you this season so far?
Well, there's a load of players that have come in and impressed. Obviously, the likes of Mark Hockey, who's come in and unfortunately got that injury, but then he's came back from injury and he's been brilliant for us since he's came back from injury. James Taylor, you know, came in the nets. Didn't get a whole lot of game time throughout the years when Johnny Tuffy was here, but he's been brilliant this season.
And he's solid keeper.
Yeah, good keeper. He's coming in and he's done really, really well. And he made a wee mistake there on Saturday against Glentoran. The ball sort of went through his hands into the net and he was gutted. You know, you could just tell after the match he was gutted because he has been superb for us recently.
Mm-hmm. It's been a frustrating season for Glenavon, but they could still very much have a say in a lot of things, particularly the title race, European football, etc. Last four games before the split, Larne away, Carrick at home, they'll be looking for a bit of revenge in that game, I'm sure. Cliftonville at home and Coleraine away. I mean, tough games, but Glenavon, usually at this stage of the season, comes strong. And we've seen in the past, you know, when Linfield were going for the title, they could get into the top six, Glenavon, but they won that game at Moorinview and said, okay, we're not going to get in there, but we're not going to let you have the title and have your free 3 points, so to speak. You're going to have to earn them.
Yeah, well, that's it. That was last season. I remember the top six wasn't possible after we were beat by Crusaders. And people probably thought we were just going to roll over against Linfield as it didn't matter and let them beat us. But we put in a great performance and won the match. And that'll be the same this season. We have to obviously see how Ballymena and Coleraine do in their last four games before the split. But we'll be going out to win, you know, all them matches. We're going to go to Larne here on Tuesday and try and get the win. There's no way we're going to go and try and play for a draw or, you know, take our foot off the pedal. We have to go give it 100%. And we'll be expecting a reaction from Larne as well after getting knocked out of the Irish Cup. It's no doubt going to be a tough game, but we have to push on and try and cement ourselves definitely in the seventh. But there's still a possibility of sixth, especially playing against Coleraine the last game before the split.
Yeah, that could be a very big game, I think, that last game, potentially. We'll have to wait and see about that. James, it's great to have you on the show. And I'm really looking forward to learn a little bit more about Euro and journey because you are synonymous with Glenavon Football Club. You're the current club captain, a phenomenal honour, I'm sure. What made you want to start out in football from a young age? Was that something you've always been interested in when you were a kid? How did you get into it?
I was quite late, to be honest with you. I didn't start the football until I was about 8 or 9, which you think of the kids now. They're playing, they're kicking a ball when they're 4 or 5 years old. But it was just sort of watching football. Once I got to an age where I could watch it on the TV and maybe watching it with my dad and my family or whatever, I took a real good interest to it. I wasn't really forced into football. It was just sort of very much, you know, do what you want to do as a child. And I took an interest in it. And then I went to a couple of wee summer schemes. And then that was when I decided that I wanted to join a football team.
Did you always feel that you were going to be more of a defensive-minded player? Although, I suppose, a fullback, you can get forward. But did you always see yourself more as a defensive player?
I was always a midfielder my whole life. I was a centre midfielder, right? I joined Lisburn Youth when I was 8. And I played midfield right up until I was 17 when I was in the Glam first team. So I was never actually a fullback at all until Gary Hamilton came to the club. Even when I went to... the academy at Glenavon, I was a centre midfielder as well, and I still play in midfield. Gary still plays me in there the odd time, and that's probably in my opinion, my strongest position. But I'm willing to do the job, you know, wherever Gary plays me, and mainly I've been playing left back, you know, the most over the last 8-9 years, and yeah, it's been good.
In terms of your journey and how it's sort of evolved so far and developed personally and just in general life, who's been your sort of inspirations and idols, James?
Well, my whole family actually supported United, and my couple of Arsenal fans as well. And, So I think when I got to about 8 or 9 years old, I think I had every kid on, to be honest with you. When I was a child, I had United, Arsenal, everything on. So I didn't really, can't really say I supported anybody until I was about 9 years old when I decided to take a completely different route and support Chelsea. So once I fell in love with Chelsea, it would have been Frank Lampard at the time. I was playing, you know, the same position as Frank. But then as I got older, you know, the likes of Ashley Cole, you know, watching him at left back, especially when I started to play a bit of left back myself, he became a big idol. You know, I wanted to try and do what he did and be so good defensively like he was, but try and, you know, be good on the ball as well. And so I'd have to say Ashley Cole and Frank Lampard would have been my two biggest idols.
I was slightly excited for a start there because I thought you were going to say that you were a big Man United fan, and I'm a United fan myself. But then you said Chelsea, and I thought, well.
I couldn't follow the family. I had to go a different route.
Ashley Cole, though, I mean, tremendous player over his time, both at Arsenal and at Chelsea. I mean, did he really sort of start this sort of revolution of quality left-backs in the British game?
I think so. I remember Ronaldo whenever he really took off in the Premier League for United, and the one player that I was, you know, always comfortable Ronaldo going up against was Ashley Cole. He was outstanding. He just knew how to play him. But what I loved about Ashley Cole was he was so good defensively, but equally he scored goals and he got a lot of assists as well. And he was so fit, and he got up and down the line, you know, very well. And I think he sort of started that attacking fullback role, and after that it really took off.
What you mentioned Frank Lampard as well, wonderful player, obviously. But as a manager, what have you made of him so far? Obviously, currently at the Villa.
Yeah, I was delighted when he got the Chelsea job, to be honest with you. Obviously, a club legend coming to Chelsea. It was great to see. And unfortunately, that didn't work out. But I think with Thomas Tuchel coming in, Lampard put down a lot of the foundations. And yeah, I hope he does well. And back in the Premier League again, I'd love to see them do well. They're obviously sitting near the bottom now, but you know, I think he'll do the job.
Yeah, us Scots here always have a look at Tam Tuchel and see how he's getting on there, which is quite interesting. I mean, Chelsea, obviously, you know, current European champions. I don't know if you've been to a lot of Chelsea games in the past, this season, maybe last couple of seasons, but good sight to watch on their day.
It's always difficult, you know, whenever you're playing football yourself, it's so hard to get over to games unless you were to go over on a Sunday, and then you sort of need to work off on the Monday. And I think if I had family members who were Chelsea fans, it would be a lot easier, you know, to go and book tickets. But no, a lot of the time watching it on the TV is happy enough.
Very much so. You're certainly given that. Talk to me about your days at Lisburn Youth, because that's where you sort of started out. How did you get involved with that, and how has that kind of affected your game in the beginning?
Yeah, so growing up, I'm obviously from Lisburn, and Lisburn Youth at the time were the best side. You know, it was between us and Hillsborough Boys, very competitive. And I decided to go to Lisburn Youth. I had a couple of friends from school that played for Lisburn Youth, and I decided to go there as well. And that was whenever I sort of realised that I had a wee bit of ability. And we created a really good team. The likes of Conor McMenamin was in my team, and Chris Johns at Linfield. And we had a decent squad. And at that age, you don't really know other clubs. And we were beating Linfields and Glenthorns and, you know, big Irish league clubs, but you didn't notice that was a big deal when you're so young. And we developed a really, really good squad where we won Northern Ireland Cups and stuff. And then we eventually broke up at about under 13s, and Chris Johns went over to England, and Conor McMenamin went to Linfield, and I went to Glenavon, you know, and I actually went to Lisburn Distillery first and then went to Glenavon. But we had a super side at Lisburn, a very, very competitive side. And I think that really set us up to, you know, push on in our careers.
And obviously, Conor McMenamin scored against Glenavon last weekend. He got a hat-trick as well. I mean, he's just a phenomenal talent, isn't he?
He's a superb player. And I remember Conor, me and him both played in midfield for Lisburn Youth, right through sort of under-9s, under-10s, right up to under-13s. And we had a good partnership in midfield back then, and then we took different routes. But he's turned into a top player, and he's a completely different player than what he was when he was younger too. You know, he's obviously playing out in the wide left,
He looks like he's bulked up as well. He looks like he's got a bit of physicality about him as well, which is good. He's still got that pace too.
That's the thing I noticed last week playing against Glentoran. I realised they're in good nick, you know. But that comes with full time training. You know, they've no work. They're maybe doing a training session and a gym session every day, and that's just gonna, you know, it's gonna be good for you in the long run.
You mentioned Chris Johns as well. I mean, how good a goalkeeper has he been over the last few years? So consistent, both at Coleraine, but obviously for Linfield as well.
I remember Chris Johns whenever we were younger, and if he would have conceded a goal, he would have kicked the post. He was he was so hard on himself, but he, and that's the reason why he went to England and you know, had a great career, and that's the reason why he's at the Champions at the minute. Just demands the most out of himself, and he was a superb keeper. Like, he was so good when we were younger that even if he conceded 3 or 4 goals a season, he was raging. And you know, to have him in nets at Lisbeth was just you were so comfortable in matches. It just felt like nothing could ever go past him.
Who kind of gave you the advice and sort of made you settle into your time at Lisbon Youth? Because obviously you need sort of big characters and big leaders from a young age to sort of steer you in the right direction. Who were they for you, Jeff?
Yeah, so Ben Kennedy's father, Brian Kennedy, you know, Ben Kennedy playing for
yes,
Crusaders.
Yes, the Crusaders.
His father was a major sort of impact on me at Lisbon Youth at a lot of time for Brian. And he developed me probably the most out of all the coaches at my time there, and he was my under-11 manager, and he was absolutely brilliant. Really, a really good manager to talk to, and if you had a, you know, just the one-to-one management was superb, and it's hard to do that with kids at junior football, but he just seemed to have time for every single player, and I think he developed every one of us.
Yeah, I think it's very important from a young age that you get that right foundations, don't you? Because I've seen, certainly here in Scotland, and I'm sure you've seen it in Northern Ireland as well, players with so much talent, but they're just not nurtured in the right way, and they kind of lose them, or they kind of not quite fall on the right path, so to speak, and they could have been even better than they maybe could have been.
Well, that's it. I think Brian as well, he knew we all had ability, but he wanted us to be like level-headed, and he didn't want us to, you know, get took astray by other things, and he just kept us focused and kept us grounded, and he was always very much, you know, you have to be a trainer and make sure you're there. You know, he didn't want anyone, even at such a young age, 11, 12 years old, he was very much, you know, you be at training, you listen to the coach, you give the coach respect, and there are things that I think are vital, you know, at that age, because it would be very easy. You see nowadays, maybe some players not giving their coaches respect, and it's not good to see, but Bram is very much so, you know, if you treat us with respect, you'll get respect back.
You seem a very well-drilled, level-headed sort of guy, James. You have to be like that from a young age to sort of get going. You have to maybe have that little bit of rawness early on, but you have to kind of train yourself to say, okay, one game at a time, just keep things going, and who knows. But it's just all about that as well, isn't it?
Well, that's it. It probably comes just from the coaches you've worked with throughout your career. And every player has a wee bit of a, you know, a hot-headed streak in them, and I have had my odd red card throughout the season. I'm not going to lie about that, but it's part of being a defender. You know, emotions get high in matches, but yeah, I try to keep myself as cool as I can, and yeah, just have the coaches to thank for that.
In terms of getting involved with Glenavon, how did that come about?
Yeah, so after Lisbon Youth, we all broke up. I think it was time that we all got ourselves into Irish League clubs. And my closest team would have been Lisbon Distillery. And at the time, they were very competitive in the Irish League. They were sitting third, fourth. You know, they were top four near enough every year, and they had a great squad. So that was my automatic team to go to. And you know, I seen myself, you know, signing for Lisbon Distillery, and I done well. We stayed there for a season, and then I got contacted from Glenavon. They had a couple of scouts looking at me, and I was very unsure what to do. I had Glenavon and Linfield, after the Milk Cup, I had both coaches, both managers, both clubs contacting my father at the time, basically trying to get me down for trials. And automatically, I wanted to go to Linfield. And I knew some of the other Lisbon Youth players went to Linfield. And I was like, oh, that's the best decision to go to. And then I went down to Glenavon, done a few training sessions and seen the opportunities there, and really enjoyed it, really enjoyed my time. And I also seen the players that were signing, the likes of Reece Marshall. And we had a great team as well. So mm-hmm. I decided to go for Glenavon. And just on our first season at Glenavon, on under-16s, we won the Northern Ireland Cup, which was unbelievable, yeah. Putting Linfield out in the semi-final, and we're only 15 years old. So it seemed to be the good move.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Milk Cup there. I mean, so many great young starlets have been involved in that tournament over the years. Anybody that you recognise from your time that you were involved with that?
I've played in the Milk Cup at both age groups, and on our first year we beat Everton 2-0. I don't think there was any pro player that's playing now that was playing in that team for Everton, but I could be wrong. It could be somebody, and that was an amazing buzz. You know, being so young and having a good crowd down watching that match, because Everton were playing. They weren't here to watch County Antrim; they were there to watch Everton.
Yeah,
and we managed to get the win, which was brilliant. And then in the second year in the Milk Cup, we played against Benfica. And we drew 0-0, and that was another massive result. And even just to play against teams like that is brilliant. And the way they play is just outstanding.
It's just a phenomenal competition, isn't it? I mean, I've only watched it a few times from here in Scotland when it's live to watch, and it's just a fantastic atmosphere. You get to see a lot of young starlets coming through and just seeing them settle in and have a bit of a go in a really competitive tournament. It's great to see.
It's great to see. And even now, the counties in Northern Ireland seem to be doing really well in the Milk Cup. They were getting, I know, County Antrim won it there not too long ago. Got a great win against, I can't remember, I think it might have been United in the final. It was superb. And it's a great competition, and hopefully it goes for a lot more years.
When you first signed for Glenavon, just talk to me about your emotions.
Yeah, I was young at that time. I didn't know, am I making the right decision? You know, what do I do from now? I was so comfortable being in the same club for so many years and playing with the same teammates year in, year out. It was scary. I remember going to my first training session and I didn't know one player. Didn't know anybody, but it didn't take long before you get to know them. And it was really, really enjoyable time. And we're very fortunate to win the Northern Ireland Cup on our first season together as a team.
Yeah, I mean, you've had a phenomenal journey at Glenavon so far. You've been part of two Irish Cup winning teams, particularly that 2013-14 season, beating Ballymena in that final. You were a part of that team. Just talk to me about that moment, winning silverware with the team.
It was probably the best day of my life in terms of football. It was an amazing win, amazing journey right through the Irish Cup. And I just remember sitting in the change room. I'd just turned 18 at the time, and sitting in the change room, and you could hear the fans, banging on the drums and singing from being inside Windsor Park. And then that's when I realised that this is a really, really big match, because I hadn't really played a lot of football in the Irish League, and I didn't realise how big the Irish Cup was until I walked out in that pitch and seen the amount of people there that day, which was absolutely amazing. And it was a really tough game against Ballymena, but we managed to win it 2-1, unbelievable. And then the second Irish Cup, unfortunately, I broke my leg halfway through the season, so I missed the Irish Cup final of that game, but it was still amazing to be down supporting the team.
And of course, that was against Linfield, the second one. And one absolute factor in both of those triumphs was the current manager, Gary Hamilton. What is it like working with Gary?
Yeah, it's good working with Gary. He's not a manager that would be, he's a manager that just leaves you to it and lets you perform and doesn't put too much, on your shoulders. He wants you to go out and express yourself and do what you can. And yeah, it's good to work with him. I've been working with him now a long time and have a good relationship with Gary, and I have a lot of respect for him, obviously, for giving me my opportunity as a young boy.
He's got a tremendous beard as well, and I'm trying to kind of work on my own facial hair. So if he's got any tips, Gary, if you're listening, please send them in my direction, because I certainly want to have a beard as fantastic as yourselves. What is he like in terms of training methods, preparing for big matches? He seems to be, as you mentioned there, quite level-headed, but he's a very passionate guy, and he wants to win every game, doesn't he?
He does. He wants to win every game, and he always has been like that right from my started playing for Glenavon.
He kicks every ball, doesn't he? He kicks every ball.
He does, and obviously that comes from him being a player manager for the first load of years there as well. I think he's actually still registered to be a player manager.
Yes, I was checking that today.
I don't know if he'll play again, but especially my first 3-4 seasons at Glenavon, he played quite a lot, and he was outstanding. I would like to have seen him 10 years ago, 15 years ago, how good he would have been then, because. Yeah. He still had the ability right up there until maybe a year or two ago when he obviously got a wee bit older and got a bit more of a belly. He very much takes a back seat in training and lets the coach do all the work. And obviously they discuss what we're going to work on, and he just lets the coach work away. But he's always keeping an eye, and he knows a lot about the players in the league. So he has us all prepped well when we're going into games. And I think he understands the league. He knows how to win football matches. And yeah, it's good to have.
That's an interesting point you made as well about Gary being, of course, a player manager for a period of time. Does that kind of change the dynamics in the dressing room a little bit because he is playing as well? What's your experience has been of that?
I think I wouldn't like to be a striker in the team anyway, because I'm sure Gary sort of will... He'll compare himself to a lot of the strikers that have played for Glenavon, and him being such a good player, it's bound to be that difficult for the strikers to try and match the way he was, being probably the top striker in the league, whenever he was playing. But yeah, I think as well, just him being there will help the likes of the boys that are playing up front, the likes of Fitzy, because it's somebody to talk to, it's somebody to get take wee golden nuggets out of, and yeah, it's great for the attacking team, the players in the team.
Now, you've played alongside some really good young starlets who are ripping it up across the water currently in England. And I want to ask you about a few of them. Mark Sykes is the first one I'm going to bring up, obviously doing very well at Oxford United. What was Sykes like to play alongside?
Unbelievable. He was so good and a great lad as well. Sykes, he was a player that could win you a football match on his own. And I think he done that for us on many occasions. It was actually when I broke my leg. At the time, I was playing midfield. Sykes came into the team. I remember him starting the following week after I'd done that. He played against Crusaders. And just from that, when he got that first chance, he just took it with both hands. And since then, he was outstanding for us. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. And I had absolutely no doubt that he was going to make it over to England, because as the seasons went on, he just got better and better. And he grew and he matured. And he got the both sides of his game. He was always great on the ball and attacking, but then he got the defensive side right as well, where he was winning his headers, he was winning his tackles. And what a player for us.
Yeah, and another person who really has showcased his potential is Joel Cooper. Great player for Linfield, and obviously having his own experiences across the water. What was he like to play with?
He was brilliant, and since I've been at the club, I just need to say that I've been very fortunate with the left wingers that I've played with. You know, at the minute, Peter Campbell, Joel Cooper, Josh Daniels. You know, to have them three players in front of you, it makes my job a hell of a lot easier. But Joel was so you knew what Joel was going to do, but you couldn't stop him from doing it. He was one of them players, you know. You knew he was going to go on to his left foot and shoot, or you knew he was going to take you on down the line, and he was just that quick and that low center of gravity and that strong that people struggled to mark him. And even coming back to, you know, when he was back on loan to Linfield last season, you know, he was just as good. You know, he probably even better. He was unplayable at times last season for Linfield, and I think they're really missing him.
And Josh Daniels, you mentioned him as well. I mean, obviously currently at Shrewsbury, he's a fantastic talent too.
He was a different player than Joel Cooper. So Josh Daniels was right-footed and very much like to come inside and play, you know, and link up with the midfielders and get his shots off cutting inside. So it was a different role, because with the way Josh played, it meant I could sort of get down, you know, play more attacking. I could get down the wing if he was cutting inside. It left me more space. Whereas the likes of Joel, I just give him the ball and let him work away and do his thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was great working with Josh as well. What a player he was. He had a lot of ability.
I mean, do you think it's important to see a lot of these younger players kind of settling in Northern Ireland, make their trade or get their kind of skill set up and going, to venture across the water? We're seeing a bit of a change in dynamics now, aren't we?
I think playing in the Irish League is massive now for players going across the water. I think if I was a young lad and I had the choice to play in the Irish League for a few years and then go across, or go across at such a young age, I'd probably pick, you know, the playing in the Irish League first, because I think it turns you into a man. You're playing men's football. You find that a lot of players that go over in a young age, they tend to come home because they're not used to playing, you know, men's football. They're not used to playing football that means a lot. They're playing in like an under-20s league over there, and it's completely different. You know, whenever you start to play in front of supporters and start to play in big matches, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously, we mentioned earlier on about Glenavon winning the Irish Cup on a couple of occasions. It's obviously been a big fillip because it's given you opportunities to play on the European stage. What's it like playing on the European stage, James? Because for a club like Glenavon to be playing European football, it's fantastic to see.
It is. And after the Irish Cups, us playing in Europe, I don't think we knew what it was like, because I remember we were playing at home in our first European game in 2014, and I got yellow carded within the first 5 minutes for a tackle that in the Irish League wouldn't even have been a foul. You know, it's the referees, obviously from Europe, and they were so harsh, and you couldn't speak to them. If you were to say anything, you'd near enough get booked. So that was something we had to get used to, because we didn't want to go down to 10 or 9 men, and it sort of put you off the back foot then. You couldn't make a challenge the rest of the match, and it's just a completely different competition. You have to be very smart to play in Europe, and I think it maybe took us a wee while to sort of get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, you've had experiences of playing, I think it was a couple of Icelandic teams, wasn't it? But the one highlight, I suppose, and I don't think you were in the team for this, but I find this quite interesting anyway, is you got the opportunity to play Molde of Norway, which, of course, was managed by former Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, that was a bit of a fantastic moment.
Yeah, it was amazing. I remember we qualified for Europe and then we drew Molde, and we were all told to book our holidays. For a lot of us were told to book our holidays for a certain date who were going on holiday that summer. The likes of myself and Johnny Tuffy and Reese Marshall. And whatever way it worked, the fixtures changed date. So it meant that a lot of us missed the game, because I know Reece missed the second match and Johnny Tuffy missed the second match as well. And unfortunately, the way my holidays were booked, I ended up missing both games. It was just unfortunate. And it was, we were told so late on that you couldn't even change your holiday dates over. You know, the games were played in July, like the middle of July. And we were told that like the last week of June, you know, there was a change in dates, and it was just too quick. And it was unfortunate for us, but it's something, yeah, I'm a wee bit gutted that I missed the match, but I was following it on the phone and I was kicking every ball with the team, and I was delighted to see us beat them.
And they won the first leg, and then obviously going out there, obviously couldn't complete the job. But when you see the journey of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, obviously getting the opportunity to manage one of the biggest clubs in football, you know, it's just incredible, isn't it? You have to kind of pinch yourself and think, oh, I wish I was part of that. That must make you so frustrated.
Unbelievable. I know, that's it. I remember watching it on the screen, especially when we won, you know, like if we were to go out and get beat 6-0, obviously you'd still like to say you played against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Eric Haaland as well. That was amazing. But yeah, it was a wee bit gutting to miss that game. But you know what? It is what it is. Hopefully there'll be a lot more European games in the future.
Well, this is it. And that's coming on nicely to my next question, because what is the aspirations between the now and the end of the season? Because, you know, you'd like to get possibly into that Europa Conference League. I mean, there's a lot of talk about maybe Northern Irish clubs trying to make that next step and get into this group stages of the Conference League and maybe the Europa League if they're a bit more ambitious. But it just seems like the next progressional step for Northern Irish football.
Well, that's it. And I think this competition is going to be an opportunity for teams to actually progress. You know, you see now every year, the likes of Linfield and Glentoran, they're getting past the first round and maybe even the second round and getting knocked out in the third. And it's great to see. And even if you do get knocked out of the Champions League, if you're champions, you get put down to the Europa League and then potentially down to the Europa Conference League. And it's great for the clubs. It's going to bring more money into the league. But on a personal note, and for Glenavon, it's somewhere we need to get ourselves back into. And obviously with the full-time teams at the minute, it is difficult to get that that European position. So if we have to go through, you know, cups and the European playoff, it's something that we have to improve on. We want to be in the top six as well. You know, we're, in my opinion, I don't think we're a bottom six club. And there was a load of years there from 2014 right through that we qualified automatically, you know, finishing third 2 years in a row, which was great. And if we can get ourselves back in competing in the top six, it's something that, you know, we really need to work for next season.
And away from football, you have a very nice young family. I'm sure they are keeping you very busy outside of football.
Definitely. Leah was born in the summer there and just before the league started. So it was completely different. There was a few matches where you didn't get as much sleep as what I normally would have, where I wouldn't be able to lie in, you know, as long as I would have on a Saturday normally. But it's something you just have to adjust. You know, it's great. Amazing time at the minute with Leo and Jodie as well. And we've got our house and stuff now. So it's great, and we're growing up nicely as a family, and hopefully Leo will be a footballer as well when he gets a wee bit older.
What about this kind of social aspect of football, though? Because obviously with COVID-19, it's been very, very challenging, I'm sure. What has it been like in terms of social activities? It's a little bit better now at the moment, but it's still not been magnificent.
I remember at the start when the league was all cancelled, it was a very tough time. I think being off that amount of time really, you know, affected a lot of players mentally and physically, obviously, as well, too.
How did it affect you?
I struggled a wee bit. I think it was more just seeing the players and being out, you know, being out of the house. You're sitting in on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday night doing absolutely nothing. You're sitting in doing, well, the whole world was doing nothing, let's be serious. But even on a Saturday, you know, when there was no football even on the TV, it was just like football was removed from the world. And it was a strange, strange time. And I remember the German league was one of the first leagues
to start up again.
And the excitement of that first game, I think it was Borussia Dortmund might have been playing, the excitement for that match. And I'd love to see how many people actually watched that match, because it was the first match played in months. And it was strange. And then I remember we were told we were allowed to go back to training. And obviously everybody wasn't as fit as what we should have been. So I think pre-season, whatever, was a wee bit tougher than normal years.
I have to ask you this, because I saw it on your Instagram stories last weekend, because I think you guys were out having a social event. How is Sean Ward so good at singing?
Well, I hope he's not listening to this, because I will not hear the end of it after you saying that. He's a very confident guy, Wardy. A great lad, a school teacher as well. And I think maybe he doesn't get the enjoy himself as much in work. So he comes to football and he just lets loose there. And a great lad and a great pro and still a great player. You know,
absolutely phenomenal player.
I don't even want to say the age here, but how fit he is as a player, and even how quick he is too. You know, still at his age is unbelievable. And he's doing a job for us at left back, right back, centre midfield, centre half. Just a great player.
I was wondering if he's going to start creating the next boy band at Glenavon. I don't know how that's working out, but I'd love to find out.
The funny thing is, too, it was actually Connor Scannell, one of our younger players, was the only one that had to sing that night because he hadn't sang since he signed for the club. And then Morty just decided, oh, I'll just stand up and do it here myself. You know, and that's just the type of guy that he is. He's good to have a drink with.
Did you have to do any initiation sessions when you started?
Yeah, I think I was 16 years old when I had to do my first call up to the first team, and we were away to Ballinamallard on the bus, and Gary made me sing a song, and I just done a safety and sung Stand By Me by Benny King. I was just a safe one.
Excellent choice. I love Benny King. Absolutely fantastic. You have fantastic music taste, James. We're very much coming to the end of the show. I've thoroughly enjoyed our discussion. Just a few short questions to ask you before we wrap things up. I always like to do this with some of my more recent guests, but I always like to just find out a little bit more about the battles, the grounds, the teammates, etc. So what is the hardest place in the Irish League to go and get a result, do you think?
It has to be Windsor Park. And that's funny me saying that because we've had good success, you know, at Windsor Park, but it's always a tough, tough match.
Is it because of the big pitch? I mean, a lot of people are saying
that. I think it's just the size of the pitch and the fitness, and especially for us the last sort of year or two when Linfield have been more, you know, full-time and their fitness levels have went up. It's somewhere we struggled recently to go to and get a result. It's a tough game to play. And Linfield on their day, obviously, they beat us 7-0 and 7-1. It might have been 8-1.
I think it was 8-1. I think it was. Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but it was
8-1 and 7-0. And they were my two worst defeats in my whole career, you know, and that happened in the one season. So it's a place that hasn't been sort of happy hunting grounds for us recently.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thing in itself because, you know, it's very rare that teams get absolutely thumped like that. Mentally, that must take a little bit of adjusting to, and the response of that, how you respond from that is always very fascinating to know. How did it affect you, those two games?
The first game, Shane Lavery scored a hat-trick within 25 minutes.
What a player.
What a player. What a guy as well. And we were 3-0 down or 4-0 down within half an hour. And you're sort of looking at yourself going, what's just happened, you know, in the last 30 minutes? And you don't know. It's just like, they had four chances and four goals. It was just so clinical, so easy for them. And we couldn't believe it. We put it down to just one of them matches. And then the second match, unfortunately, we got a man sent off straight away, which, you know, you can't go down to 10 men against Linfield at Windsor Park at the size of that pitch. You know, you're always going to struggle. So we got a man sent off, and that match ended something similar. Two games that I want to forget.
But yep.
Probably helped us as a team, you know, brought us more together. You have to stick together and really dig in when you're going through tough games like that.
Well, Ralph Hasenhüttl has seen Southampton lose 9-0 twice and he's still in a job. So, you know, it's all about how you respond, and that's exactly what he has done and yourself has done as well. In terms of competitors, you know, rivalries, who has been your toughest opponent?
Probably Gavin White.
What a great player he is. Super another player, Oxford man.
It's a lot of the boys from Northern Ireland now. And O'Sheen Smith from Dungannon just went across there too. Gavin was a top player. Really, really hard to play against. Had pace to burn. Great finisher. Could use both feet. Could go inside. Could go down the line. But I loved playing against Gavin White. It was somebody who I said, if I can deal with him, I can deal with any winger in the league. So it was a challenge for me and. I think I've done quite well over the years against him. And I think he probably made me a better defender as well, you know, playing against him a lot.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic talent. And it's always good when someone acknowledges that, you know, they're a very tough opponent and it's always a good matchup. And I always liked it to hear that. So very interesting to see that. In terms of the team itself, we've got to talk about the dressing room. We've got to talk about pre-match, post-match, whatever. Who is the guy in the dressing room that gives the greatest banter? Is it Wardy? Is it others?
I'd have to say Sean Ward, you know, just the way he is with all the players, the young lads, the older lads. He loves a wee bit of banter with the staff as well. Yeah, he's just a funny guy, and I don't even want to say that on here. Hopefully he's not listening, because again, he's just not. If he hears this, that'll be him. He'll talk about it for weeks now. His head will just be absolutely massive. But no, he's a funny guy, great guy to have in the change room, and a great pro too. You know, he's been there and he's won a lot, and great the past experience on to the younger players, and a good guy. So yeah, he's definitely the joker of the change room.
And on the training ground, who was the poorest trainer?
Oh, well, he's actually not playing for us anymore, but Owen Bradley at Coleraine was probably the worst trainer I've ever trained with in my life. He used to walk about the change room or over the training pitch with his hands in his pockets. You know, it was like unbelievable. But he was a player that he would have just said, I don't need to do it in training because I'll just do it on the Saturday. And to be fair to him, he did it on the Saturday, you know, so you couldn't fault him. He was super for us as well before he went to Coleraine. But he was quite, if you were playing five-a-side, Owen Brody would have been frustrating to have in your team.
And does that continue into the worst finisher at the club? Who is the poorest at finishing? Who's always sending ones over the stand?
it's tough, you know, with our training pitch at the minute up in Lurgan Junior High, it's not the best surface. So I think everybody's... sending them over the stand. But yeah, Skinner at the time would have been up there too. You know, he would have had, but then he would have pulled an absolute worldie. You know, he was a type of player that would have missed easy chances and then scored the most difficult.
I mean, Andy Hall would be in the other end because he always seems to score worldies.
His free kicks, you know, last season especially.
David Beckham would be proud of them.
Yeah, a few absolute crackers. And Andy has that ability, even in his crossing. I think his first season at Glenavon, he had the most assists in the league. Mm-hmm. And you know, he can put a ball on a plate for you. So I'm sure he's a striker's dream when he does get the ball out of his feet and he's about to cross it. And another great player for us, you know, somebody who maybe hasn't featured as much as he'd like to this season, but a great player to bring on, you know, when you need a goal or you need a set piece or an assist.
Obviously, you can't at the moment because of the COVID situation, but when you're traveling on buses to games, who is the one person you think, oh no, please, I don't have to sit next to him, do I?
I think over the years, at the minute, all the lads are brilliant. I'll be happy to sit with anybody at the minute in the change room. But over the years, there's been some characters, you know, the likes of your Winky Murphys and your Guy Bates and players like that there, that you could be tortured sitting beside them boys, you know, for a long journey away to Ballinamallard, and especially the likes of Batesy, you know, once you got him going, then there was no stopping him. No, but I've been very lucky to have a great change room throughout the years we're going to have, and there's been, you know, a lot of top pros, a lot of great players, and it just makes me think if we didn't lose all them players to certain clubs over in England and other clubs, the team that we would have right now would be frightening.
And my last question to you, James, because you've been a terrific guest. What's been your personal highlight so far?
Probably the Irish Cups and playing in Europe. You know, I want more of that. I'm not too happy at the minute with the way we aren't maybe as high up the table as I think we should be. And in terms of, you know, getting knocked out early in the Irish Cup, it's something that I think we really need to improve on. I'm saying that, you know, we're playing Crusaders. It's not like we've been knocked out by somebody we should be beating. It's a very, very tough match. You know, it could go either way. But I think we need to improve on our you know, cup runs, and we need to get ourselves up that table again and start competing, because I want more trophies and I want more European matches.
Well, as I mentioned earlier on the show, there's still plenty for Glenavon to play for. And obviously that seventh spot might be important come the end of the season. Who knows? So certainly keeping you well-wished for that, because that could be a very big battle to get in to that seventh spot, or maybe even to the top six, depending on how results go between now and the end of the season. But James, it's been great to chat with yourself. All the best to you, everybody at Glenavon, your family and friends, and all the very best for coming on my show. Thanks very much.
No, Grant, it's been absolutely super. Thank you very much for having me on. So I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. What a dangerous night.